Okay, so Galatians chapter 20, sorry, chapter 5, verse 23. So we're going through the fruits of the Spirit. We're building up, as we do so, this picture of what a Christian is like, or looks like, or should be like. The characteristics that should be seen in us as God's people. Things that should be displayed. That's the thing about fruit. It's something that you see. So you can tell an apple tree by its apples. It's always an apple tree, but its fruit shows you that. And so these fruit will be seen in us by other people. They'll be evident. So love will be seen in us. Other people should be able to see in actions in our lives by the priorities that we have and the way that we speak and the things that we do, that we love God, that love is a characteristic of our lives, love for God, and displayed often in our love for the people of God. And joy and peace should be seen in us too. Joy and peace that comes from the gospel, from knowing our sins are forgiven, resting in God's grace and walking in his ways. And that peace should be seen. People should see it. That joy should be seen, even in the midst of the troubles and the busyness of life. And then long-suffering or patience. People should be able to see that in our lives. As we endure the things that come into our lives and as we are patient with each other, people should be able to look at us and say, yes, I can see in them patience. They should also experience our kindness as we are kind to them and see their needs and seek as we can to help them. People should see that in you and in me. They should also see goodness, that we shun evil and we love what's good and right and we display goodness to others. And then people, as they look at our lives, should see faithfulness. Faithfulness. They should be able to point to our lives and our relationships and our giving ourselves to the life of the church and to the people of God and say, there's a faithful, there's a dependable person. What a beautiful life. We've said, haven't we, that the Holy Spirit is producing and encouraging in us. And yet, of course, none of us are thinking tonight, are we? Even as I say those words, none of us are thinking, that's me. I've nailed all those. None of us are thinking. We're all thinking, aren't we? We fall short. I've still got so far to go. And so we're so thankful, aren't we, that the Lord is all these things too. That he is loving and he is patient and he is faithful. And how we need him to be that, don't we? So thankful for the gospel. So that we understand, don't we? But it's worth stating again, we're not trying to be these sort of people in order to be saved. We're seeking and desiring to be these sort of people because we've been saved by grace. And we need more grace and we need more help and we need more of the Holy Spirit and we need to have that growing sense of dependence on him. And so now we come to the eighth fruit. Here we are in this summer series and we're coming into winter and we're on number 8 of 9, so we're nearly there. In the New King James, it's referred to as gentleness. You'll see in the margin, it's the Old Authorized Version has this word, meekness. And I'm going to use the word meekness. I think it's a better word for us to use. Gentleness perhaps would give us the impression this word is just concerned about how we deal with others. It's how we deal with actions. But the word, though it includes that, is firstly and primarily concerned with an attitude in our hearts. I mean, all of these really are, aren't they? But it's seen here. So that's why I think meekness is a better word to use. Gentleness and meekness are not exactly the same thing. So if you turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul says there, look, if you can turn there, Paul, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now that first word, meekness, is the same word as we've got in Galatians 5, verse 23. So the fact that Paul uses both words shows that they're linked, they're similar, there's a connection, but they are different. Meekness. It's the same root word as in the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So I'm going to be using meek or meekness tonight. So as Christians, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, meekness is to be seen in us. So we've got two questions. What is meekness, and how is meekness displayed? And in many ways, the second answers the first, or helps to answer the first. So first of all, what is meekness? I wonder how you would answer it. Let's first of all deal with what it isn't. It isn't weakness. It isn't describing somebody who's spineless. It isn't somebody who, what's the expression, wouldn't say boo to a goose. I don't know where that expression comes from. Does anyone else know that expression? Yeah, we do know. That's, I just made that up, have I? Anyway, someone knows where that comes from, you can tell me. It's not somebody who's just, you know, frightened to say anything in a difficult situation. He wilts at the first sign of pressure. It's not a meek in that sense. How do we know that? How do we know that's not what it means? Well, because of two of the people who are specifically referred to as being meek. First of all, Moses. We read in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very, some persons translated it humble, but it can be I think it's better translated meek. He was meek, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So Moses was a meek man, but we know for sure he wasn't a weak man, was he? Far from it. He was a man of great strength and great conviction. He stood for the truth in spite of the bitter opposition from the people of Israel. So Moses is a man who gets the golden calf and crushes it up and into powder and puts it in the water and makes the people drink it. I mean, that's not weak, is it? Certainly not a picture of weakness and indecision. The other person who's particularly described as meek is the Lord himself. Matthew 11, 29. I am gentle, meek. It's the same root word as we have in Galatians. And lowly of heart. So Christ is a meek man. But was he weak? Of course not. He wasn't a weak man, was he? In many ways, we have a similar situation to Moses and the golden calf when he goes into the temple and casts everybody out and turns over the tables of the money changers. I mean, that's not weak, is it? That's not spineless. That's conviction. That's truth. But he's meek. So meek isn't weak, isn't feeble, isn't spineless. What is it then? Well, the Greek word carries a range of meanings and is used in a variety of ways, but the main words used to explain it are humility and gentleness. Humility and gentleness. So it's speaking about, that's the inner attitude, if you like, humility. That's a lack of self-interest, that lack of just wanting your own way and thinking that you should have your way and your rights, that humility that then shows itself in gentleness, shows itself in that way. We must remind ourselves once again that these are spiritual attributes that we're considering, not simply natural characteristics that some people have. So Don Carson, a Canadian preacher, says on this point, some people are just naturally nice and easygoing, but then again, so are some dogs. Meekness goes much deeper. So, you know, you get nice people, you get nice dogs. Meekness is something bigger than that, isn't it? Only a Christian with the Spirit of God in them can be meek, as this is being described here. So it's a humility of heart that displays itself in submission and in gentleness. No doubt the best way to help understand what meekness is by just going on then to our second point. How is it displayed? How is it displayed? That's going to help us understand what meekness is. And you'll see I've got four main ways in which it's displayed. First of all, it's displayed in a submissiveness to the will of God. So a meek person isn't always insisting on having things their own way, and they're ready to submit to God's will and to God's providences. So Job was another man whose life was characterized by meekness. And you remember his words when providence had taken away all that he had. And what did he say? Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will return. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, that's meekness, isn't it? That's submission. That's someone saying, not saying, well, you know, this shouldn't happen to me. I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. Someone submitting, recognizing God is God's. And bowing. We see that when we've spoken of the meekness being seen in Christ, and that was one of the ways it's displayed in his life, isn't it? A willing submission to his Father's will. You see it all through his life. John's Gospel particularly brings that out, doesn't it? And of course, most famously, you see it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, not my will, but your will be done. And a readiness to accept God's purposes for him, and meekness is displayed in that way, a submission to the will of God, a trusting in the word of God. That's why that second hymn we sang, Mark rightly said as he began to pray, it's difficult to sing, to submit and say, Lord, I've asked you for things and you haven't answered as I thought, and I can't see you, but I trust you and I submit. Sinclair Ferguson writes like that, meekness is that humble strength that belongs to a person who has learned to submit to difficulties, knowing that in everything God is working for his good. A humble strength, that's a good way of putting it, isn't it? A humble strength that I'm going to submit, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust. So are we characterized by that then? Is meekness seen in our lives in that way? We have to be ready, don't we, in the Christian life for difficulty, for hardship, for things to come that are hard to bear, that are disappointing, tragedy, ill health. Things that we lose a job, maybe. Not being able to do what you'd love to do, the trials of old age. How are we going to respond? Are we going to submit? Are we going to are we going to have that meekness and that willingness to bow? Or are we going to have a grumbling spirit? Meekness is displayed in a submissiveness to the will of God. But it's also displayed in a submissiveness to the word of God. True meekness is displayed in a humble, teachable spirit when it comes to God's words. So Isaiah 66, verse 2, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Why, that's searching, isn't it? When did I last tremble at the word of God as it spoke to me and showed me my life and what's wrong? Or it turned to James, that's on a bit further, isn't it, after Galatians, what's... Find Hebrews, that's a big book, and then James comes next. And after that, James 1, verse 21 and 22. Listen to this, or look at this. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So here's how we're to receive the word of God then, with meekness, with humility, not questioning it, not fighting it, but honoring it as the word of God. And notice verse 22, not just hearing it, but obeying it. So you all seem to be very meekly listening to the word of God tonight. No one has got up and said, I'm not going to do that. I've never had anyone do that, thankfully. But that doesn't mean, does it, tonight, if I'm honest, that doesn't mean you're meekly receiving the word of God. You could be here tonight and be anything other than meek. Because meekness is seen tomorrow. Meekness is seen with what we do with the word of God, isn't it? Not by sitting and nodding or not nodding or whatever. Meekness is seen as we obey and practice and respond and repent. And we must realize, mustn't we, that's not natural to us. We're stubborn-hearted. And we deceive ourselves, and we think we sort of agree with the word of God, but we don't do anything about it. So one of the signs of new life in a person, isn't it, is that new submission to the word of God. They used to fight it. They used to argue with the word of God. But now there's a delight and a submission and a willingness to obey. So how is meekness displayed? A submission to the will of God, a submission to the word of God. It's displayed, thirdly, in a gentleness with the people of God. A gentleness with the people of God. That's how people will see it. If they're going to go, yes, they're meek. I can see it. And how are they going to see it? They're going to see it in your dealings with other Christians. Gentleness, first of all, in the face of provocation. That's why I asked Mark to read from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 14. Let me read these words again. But therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So, meekness. There we're reminded, that's one of the characteristics that we're to put on, along with tender mercy and kindness and humility and long-suffering. And why do we need to put these things on? What will be the result of us putting these things on? Well, we'll bear with one another and we'll forgive one another and we'll overlook the sins of one another and we'll think the best of one another. That's what meekness does. It makes us deal with other people with gentleness and with understanding and with compassion and a willingness to bear with them, and a generosity in how we think about them. It's essential, isn't it? Essential for unity. We have the same word in Ephesians 4, verse 2. In lowliness and gentleness, the same word, meekness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let's go back to those two people. Let's go back to Moses and Jesus. And think about that. Think of Moses. Well, I mean, he tirelessly led the people through the wilderness. He pleaded with God for them and saved them from certain destruction, didn't he? And yet on numerous occasions, he had to bear their criticism and their grumbling against him. And yet such was his meekness that he bore it, didn't he? And he didn't turn around and say, well, I want nothing more to do with them ever again. He didn't go to God when God said he was going to destroy them and say, what a good idea. You know, God said to him, didn't he, let's destroy them and I'll make a new people out of you. And Moses didn't go, let me tell you some of the things they've said to me and done to me. And can I suggest a few gory ways of destroying them? He didn't do that, did he? He pleaded for them. He willingly took their criticism and grumbling and and got on with the task of leading that. Well, think about the Lord. He was like that, wasn't he? How he was reviled and spoken evil of. So that Hebrews 12:3 speaks of him enduring such hostility from sinners against him. And yet he was willing to be despised and rejected, wasn't he? What does Peter say? When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. That's meekness, isn't it? In his desire to see people saved, he was ready to not get his own way, not seek revenge. And meekness is displayed in that desire, not for our own names, but the realization that Christ's name and reputation is more important. He must increase, I must decrease. So gentleness in the face of provocation. Are we being provoked? Well, we're sinners, aren't we? Living together in a local church and messing up and failing, and we're going to need meekness. We're going to need meekness. Meekness or gentleness in giving correction. So that's why I asked Mark to read on into chapter 6 of Galatians, because we have the same word in Greek in verse 1 of chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So there's that gentleness again. There may be times when we have to speak to others, when we have to go to someone and say, look, that wasn't right what you said. That wasn't right how you've acted. That's not right what you're doing. You need to stop, don't you? And how are you going to do that? In a spirit of gentleness, with a meek attitude, that, where you're aware that you're a sinner and you could fail too. Gentleness is important, isn't it? It's a quality that must be seen in elders. Let me just remind the elders here tonight of that, along with myself, so that in the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, one of the things, gentle, same word, meek. Or if you turn to 1 Timothy, you can turn to chapter 6, and Paul reminds Timothy that meekness is something he's to have and is to be characterized by. Chapter 6, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things. That's actually, interestingly, that's the love of money. I mentioned the previous verses this morning when we were talking about Judas, the love of money, you know, corrupting and being the root of all kinds of evil. And he says, flee those things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Timothy, you're a man of God, you're a preacher of the gospel, there are certain things you have to run after, and one of those is gentleness, meekness. He says something similar. If you're in 1 Timothy, you can turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 24 and 5. But a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. So humility, meekness is needed in leadership. I would see it in Jesus, a bruised reed he would not break, smoking flax he wouldn't quench. So gentleness in the face of provocation, gentleness in giving of correction, gentleness in receiving of correction, because in many ways it's easier to give it, isn't it, than receive it, and someone come to you and you be the one who they say, look, hang on a minute, you've not, this isn't right, you're not speaking, acting rightly. And we need meekness to receive it, don't we? You know, we can sort of take it from God, but not from some other human being who we can think of a being, and there's a few things I can think of wrong with them. Oh, it's important, isn't it? It's important that we are ready to receive correction from one another. Proverbs makes that clear. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Or listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter end. So meekness in being ready for people to just speak to you and say, well, how about this? What about not doing that? Oh man, that's important, isn't it, for wisdom? It's moving you around a bit, but James, go back to James again. James chapter 3. Remember when we went through James? Those lovely verses at the end of chapter 3 about wisdom. Wisdom and meekness are linked. Do you remember James chapter 3 verse 17? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And he says earlier on, doesn't he? Where is it? Verse 13 of chapter 3, he speaks there about the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. So true wisdom is marked by a meekness. A meek person is more likely to be wise as they submit to the will of God and listen to the word of God and are ready to receive correction from the people of God. You're more likely to be wise, and that wisdom is a meek wisdom, willing to yield. Not to have your own way, but to yield and be gentle and peaceable. So, how is meekness displayed? In a submissiveness to the will of God, a submissiveness to the word of God, a gentleness with the people of God. Is that true of you? And then, lastly, it's displayed in a willing service of the people of God as well. Meekness will show itself in a readiness to look out not just for our own interest, but also for the interests of others. So, I mean, how amazingly that was displayed in Jesus himself, the Son of God, and yet the one who was willing to serve, came to not to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many, was willing to wash the smelly feet of his disciples. Willing to serve, give himself to others. Same was true of Moses, just a faithful servant. The man who talked with God as a friend with a friend. What amazing things Moses saw, and yet there's not an aloofness about him. There's a willingness to serve. Is that true of you and me? Are we like that? A meekness that says, I can serve other people. I can serve that other Christian. They may not have been a Christian. Quarter of the time I've been a Christian, that doesn't matter. I can serve them. They may not be able, they may not have the gifts that others have, but I can serve them. So as I said, Paul says to Timothy, pursue that. Pursue meekness. So I want to say to you tonight, pursue it. Run after it. Pray that you might display it more and more in your life. Of course, the world would say, you know, if you want to get anywhere, meek is the last thing you need to be. If you want to gain very much, you've got to put yourself first, haven't you? And the Bible says exactly the opposite. Because what does Jesus say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. So what does meekness bring? First of all, it brings happiness. Blessed. Truly happy. So, you want true happiness? Submit to the will of God. Submit to the word of God. Be gracious with the people of God. Serve one another. That's the way to true happiness. Not by going, I'm going to look after myself. Do my own thing. And then they shall inherit the earth. So the world would say, if you're going to get anything, then just trample on everyone else. And the Bible wonderfully says, no, it's the meek. It's the one who, it's the people who put God first and others first, who ultimately will inherit the earth. And of course, he's not speaking about world domination. He's speaking about a new creation. That day when Christ will come and make everything new and pour all his creative power into making a new heavens and a new earth will be more breathtaking and wonderful than we could ever imagine. And who's going to be there? Who's going to inherit it? Who's going to have a part in it? The meek, the people of God, who by the Spirit of God have been transformed and made more and more like the Son of God. So it's absolutely vital that you and I are marked by meekness. But it was even more vital that Jesus was marked by meekness. Because if that wasn't the case, there would be no cross. No grace, no way of salvation, no hope for sinners like us who haven't really been meek and who need forgiveness and pardon and grace from the Lord. May God search our hearts and help us to receive with meekness the implanted words.